This is A View from the Bridge, unofficial podcast of the LBM Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is the 12th of January, 2010. My name is Patrick Smith.
Hi, and I'm Connor Caldwell. On tonight's show, which will hopefully be going out tomorrow evening, we're going to talk a little bit about the current state of the Giants, games that have happened just over the Christmas period, and that has coincided with a bit of a dip in form for the team. Then we're going to talk about some events from around the league, what fixtures are coming up, and then we'll just talk about anything else that really comes up in the course of the show. So it's good to be back with you, everybody. Good to be back with you, Patrick.
And you, sir. And you, if you want to get in contact with the show, podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com.
Or look up www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast.
Well, it's been a while, mate, for various reasons.
It has indeed, yeah.
We did do a podcast that sort of never went out, and that was my fault. But we're back.
We are. We're back, and we're in a new year. It's a year of new resolutions, and we'll be resolving to bring as many broadcasts as possible over the what promises to be a very interesting finish to the season here.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, we're trying to keep on top of things for all our dedicated listener out there.
if he's listening.
If he's listening.
Well, only one place to start, mate, and it's to look back over like the Christmas period and how the Giants are at the moment. And from what seemed like would be a promising period, didn't really turn out that way. A few great wins, but maybe not appearing in the crunch games.
Well, this is it, you know, and I think you're probably better placed to speak about the Coventry weekend. As unfortunately, I couldn't attend the home game against Coventry, but it really did all seem to be built up towards that, and there was a lot of talk going around about whoever comes out on top from this weekend will really be in the driving seat as far as the league was concerned. And unfortunately for us, it was Coventry who beat us at home and then beat us in overtime away the next night. So, what did you make of those games, Patrick?
Well, I think that it's always Coventry are really the team that everybody has to beat, and the Tom always puts a consistent team together, and the Giants really had to come out and fight for those games, and didn't really. Well, they had to run them close, but Tom always has a way of circumventing any sort of tactics that the Giants try to put out there, and despite the fact when you look at the Coventry side, you wouldn't say there was any outstanding star. Maybe Hirsch in goal, but other than that, there's nobody that really catches the eye. They just work well as a team, and it was a team we couldn't break down.
Well, this is it, and I think you've really brought me straight to a main point that I wanted to bring up during the show tonight. When you talk about Peter Hirsch, the Coventry goaltender, Steve Thornton in his coach's corner release from just after that weekend said, "It was unfortunate that we find Coventry goalie Peter Hirsch in top form, and he managed to bail his team out on both occasions." And he goes on to say, scoring 3 goals at home and 4 away from home should be enough to win you games, but you can't expect to concede 4 or 5 respectively and come out on top. Now, is this really a bit of... is this Thornton turning full circle as far as the British netminder is going? I mean, so we had the extra... The extra import skater out in both of those games, but it obviously wasn't enough to beat the top team. And a top netminder, it looks to me like Thornton is basically admitting that a top import netminder is the difference.
Well, that's not taken away from Murph. Murph, at the minute, is one of the top 3 in the elite league, statistically, as a netminder. And, you know, he does give you that option of the extra import skater. But, I don't know, do you get the feeling that Stevie's regretting not going for an import netminder, or do you think that's the linchpin?
Well, I'm just looking at this right now, and we've had some very dubious imports getting around on the ice for some of the season. I mean, McMorrow is blowing hot and cold, and I think generally both of us actually have warmed to him somewhat. After initial fears, he would turn into another Rustin character. But, you know, would a top-quality import netminder have really helped the team's fortunes instead of someone like McMorrow? Out there, or Faubert in the early season, or even someone like Benedict.
In fairness to Benedict, despite a very slow start, and well, when he was playing, this is my concern about Faubert, really. But when he was playing alongside Faubert, he was a very static player, and then Faubert got injured, and Benedict seemed to appear, especially when he was playing alongside Suez. Benedict has now turned into one of the better players on the team, I have to admit. In saying that, we have a wealth of imports now, to the point where, you know, we can't really say hypothetically, and I don't think it's warranted, but say hypothetically, we were to get rid of Murph for an import. Well, then we need to get rid of two other imports because we're already one up. If you take Thornton under the bench and Awada back into the team. So we actually have a wealth of imports, but I don't think that Murph's the problem, personally.
I'm not trying to say that Murphy is a problem. I think he's having an outstanding season. But of course, against the lesser teams in the league, he's going to, not so much dominate, but certainly be consistent. And that's really all you can ask of a goaltender. I mean, there's very little point in having someone like Jody Lehman, who for years for Sheffield was outstanding sometimes, and then was just a disaster other nights. But Murphy's form this year has been great. It's been solid. You know what you're going to get. But what I'm looking at in Thornton's statement here is him saying that on 14 fouls, Coventry goalie Peter Hirsch on top form, and he managed to bail his team out on both occasions. So what we've done is we've put all our eggs in the basket of saying we're going to score more goals than the opposition, because we're sacrificing a little something in defence. But at the same time, our extra firepower front isn't good enough. This isn't just based on that weekend, but it's consistently been fired against Coventry this season against other teams, that it's not good enough to overcome the better defence in the league.
Yeah, well, I see what you're saying. I mean, it's a difficult one because the firepower that we have should be good enough to get past anybody in any night. You look at Suárez, you look at the way Benedict's playing, you know, even like Thornton as a setup, and, you know, I think that Shields is phenomenal at the minute. He's absolutely on fire. So we were breaking down Coventry and we were getting the goals, but I guess we just weren't. Well, was Hirsch on a fire just two nights, or is he just really that good consistently? Records would probably show he's probably that good consistently.
Well, that's the way it would seem.
Yeah, but then we and our team and ourselves have probably one of the tightest defences in the league, in my opinion. You just need to look.
We've conceded by far the fewest goals in the league.
So, in saying that, we're probably putting... I'd love to know, like, accumulative shots on Stephen Murphy, because I think that our defence blocked more shots than I've seen any Giants team in previous years. And therefore, the shots that Murph faces, he has to stop. Maybe not as much as many other netminders in the league, but he still stops them. But if the question is, would an import do a better job? Maybe. Probably. But does an import need to do a better job at this moment? I don't think so.
Yeah, well, I think you're probably right in that regard, but it just struck me as something very, very telling from that statement. You know, scoring three goals at home and four goals away from home should be enough to win your game, Thornton also said. I'm not sure I quite agree with that scoring three goals at home shouldn't necessarily be enough to win your matches. I don't think so. And four away from home, I mean, if you score four goals away from home, you're going to be disappointed not to win the game, but three at home, I don't think generally will be enough. So that was a disappointing weekend for the team, I think, and really for the fans. And it just sort of it continued Coventry's. They just have something over us. We're very able to step out of their shadow in the last five or six seasons.
Coventry also, but Coventry have had their slip ups in the last couple of weeks against Cardiff, and then you know the Giants have had the chances, you know, to take away, you know, a lead or take, you know, get the jump on them as Coventry lead the league, but unfortunately at times have slipped up, most notably maybe against Newcastle or Whitley Bay and maybe this weekend against Cardiff in Cardiff Bay. But I think that the Giants really need to turn this form around. I think, are they on a dip? Yes, I think they are. Can they turn it around? Most certainly. We've seen this team can play. We can see this team on any given night can beat any other team in the league, maybe apart from Coventry, unfortunately. But in saying that, you know, okay, well, this team just needs to do the best they can and be sure that they're on Coventry's coattails come, you know, middle of February, pushing in the March.
Well, this is it, you know, and we are in touch at the minute, and we just hope that we can keep that going. Well, I suppose if we just move it on to the games we've just seen the weekend past, there was same old story again. Or the you know, a morale boosting home win, followed by a morale sapping away win.
Mm-hmm. Away loss.
And we play, or, sorry, loss, yeah. it's getting too late. yeah, we played Sheffield on Saturday night in the Odyssey, and I don't know if you had a chance to catch any of that on the webcast, but it was a sort of an uneasy victory, I think, for the Giants. A lot of people, a lot of talk on the forum was that, you know, we didn't really look confident, and we were sort of holding on a wee bit at the end. But there were some wonderful goals. Craig Peacock's opener was really all down to, and this is another subject I want to talk a bit more about later, but Mark Morrison making a nuisance of himself and forcing a turnover in the Sheffield zone, and Peacock took it on and finished with a lovely wrister just above Dan Green's glove side. And then we scored a shorthanded goal, which we haven't seen quite as... I seem to remember last year there was a ridiculous amount of shorthanded goals because of our speedy breakaway men.
Well, it hasn't been that bad this year, to be honest. Suez has scored a lot. I think he leads the league in shorthanded.
I'm sure, but I seem to remember at almost in every home game last year, we were Adam Martin or Dennisett were just breaking away and scoring shorthanded goals. But... yeah, Pat Bateman scored a textbook shorthanded goal, intercepted the puck on the blue line. Really simple turnover from Kevin Bollybrook, I think it was, and then he outskated Bollybrook right up to the far end of the ice and slotted it past Green, kept the puck out in front of him. And he talked a lot about that on the UTV coverage afterwards. He followed with one of the greatest Giants celebrations ever, where he skated into the linesman and then just hugged him. And didn't really worry about his teammates until they came to him. It was quite funny. And Suez, actually, I think it ended up being the game-winning goal. Jacobson took a shot, and Green sort of parried at it, and it fell right to Suez, and he slotted into the net.
Mm-hmm.
But it ended up, I think, like I say, an uneasy win. But, you know, but the sort of win that you grind out, and that good teams do grind out on a regular basis. So, I don't know if you got to see any of that yourself, Patrick.
No, unfortunately. Well, not unfortunately, but I didn't get to see it because I was actually watching Craig Peacock's former team, Peterborough, take on the Manchester Phoenix in the EPL. But that's another story. However, the last game against Sheffield that I did see was just over the Christmas period, and it was a fantastic game of hockey. And the games against Sheffield are always tough, especially the way Sheffield are playing. They're fighting for their lives, to be honest. They're propping up the table unexpectedly. And they're really trying to fight to get out of a rut that they're stuck in, especially trying to get a bit of form running into their Continental Cup visit this weekend, which we'll come to later. But with a win like that, and the news coming that Coventry had lost against Cardiff, meant that, you know, we were travelling to Cardiff, maybe not in the best form, maybe not the most convincing win, but a win nonetheless, and the opportunity to claw back 2 points. Unfortunately, it didn't turn out that way, with a 4-1 loss.
No, no, it really didn't turn out that well for us at all. I mean, when you look at the early sort of reports from the game, we were a goal up. Sean McMorrow, by all accounts, had pummeled Brad Vaught into the ice. Then it just all seemed... That's not true. Well, I haven't seen the fight, but by all accounts, our favourite Brad Vaught took the loss. But then I think the story of the game really was three Devils power play goals and a list of penalties that reads McMorrow 5 for fighting, Awada, Jacobson, Johnson 2 minute minors, Walsh 10 minutes misconduct, Peacock and Benedict 2 minute minors, Johnson 2+10 for misconduct, Awada took a second, and Cook 2 minute minor, and Bateman 10 minute misconduct.
You can't really take those penalties.
Not no, I mean... And if you look across, I mean, almost every player and team ended up with a penalty.
Yeah. On a quick note, not that I'm one for talking about the fighting and McMorrow and whatnot, the video, the word came from Cardiff that it was actually finally a win for Mr. Voth, and the video evidence backed that up, that Voth more or less got 7 or 8 good shots on McMorrow, with McMorrow throwing back very little. But in saying that, a fight like that, it was actually more of a, for a change involving Mr. McMorrow, it was a fight that was part of a hockey incident after a cross check on Tyler Michelle. Voth reacting to that, and McMorrow maybe caught on the jump, but that's hockey. Not all fights can be grandstand, you know, shadow boxing in the middle of the in centre ice, you know, as entertaining as that is. And as you say, you know, I've warmed to Sean McMorrow in a winning situation. I think he's great entertainment. In a tight game, not so much. I know that from watching the Challenge Cup semi-final in Cardiff, we were down a couple of goals and we weren't throwing anything physically. And, well, I'd rather see players concentrating on trying to get back in the game, not dancing on the bench and pretending to shoot people in the crowd. Sorry, mate, we're a few goals down here. Can we get into the game and not play up to the crowd? And McMorrow was -3 for that game. And I'd, you know, after the game that where we'd hammered the Vipers with 11 goals, and you know he'd scored one, and the celebration was hilarious. And you know I'd warmed to him as a character, and I thought, you know, I was really on his side heading down to Cardiff to watch that game, and then just, you know, hockey's entertainment at the end of the day, but you know, if people are going to travel like that, you still want to see a win, and if you're not winning, you want to see your players concentrating on trying to get the win, not playing up to the crowd, which sort of sullied part of my opinion of Mr. McMorrow. But you know, each to their own. Personally, I like to see the win. I like to see good hockey, and that's just what I like. But you know, other people want to see the crack, and as much as I do enjoy the crack, you know, sometimes there's a time and a place.
Well, yeah, I couldn't agree more. Like you said there, it's good to see him dropping the gloves when it really does sort of matter in a hockey related incident, rather than just trying to, I don't know, goad people into fights as I've seen him doing in a couple of games recently. You know, we all know what sort of player McMorrow is. He's not going to post 20 goals for us. He's going to take a lot of penalty minutes, and he's basically going to cause havoc off the ice. Not off the ice, but I mean on the benches and stuff. He's going to play up to the crowd and he's going to tease the opposition players and whatever. But I mean, like we say, and it's the same when we talked about Rustin last year, that as long as the team's winning, you can carry those sort of players. But when it comes to the hard graft, do we want McMorrow out there, or do we want, I don't know, Thornton, or you know, one of the more crafty players?
Mm-hmm. And it's probably worth noting that the game against Sheffield at the weekend there, McMorrow didn't play due to, what I'm told is a suspension due to too many misconducts. He received a one-game suspension. There have been reports that by Steve Thornton that he was rested. So there's conflicting reports as to why McMorrow didn't play against Sheffield. Well, personally, I'd be more inclined to fall on the side of the suspension, considering that the Giants were going all out to try to sell tickets, being the only show in town. So if they were going that out to sell tickets and dropping the price by £2 of tickets, then why drop or rest their Panto star? Why drop the guy that they believe gives him the entertainment, the guy that's on all the posters? Well, what's the point? You know, especially if they're trying to draw fans in. You know, so I'd err on the side that he must have been suspended rather than he was intentionally dropped.
Well, according to Coach Thornton, he was dropped because he didn't think the Sheffield game would be as physical as the Cardiff game. And Coach Thornton said he thought, or he knew that Sean would have a big game in Cardiff and would have a lot to do.
Sorry, can I just put in there? I don't buy that for a second, personally. For the simple reason that for all the fighting and all the bravado and all the chat that he gives on the bench, I have to see McMorrow do very little physically in a hockey game. He tried to hit Jay LeTulip in Cardiff, and Jay LeTulip more or less looked over his shoulder and laughed at him, you know, because he was just too slow to catch him. I'm yet to see him convincingly do anything physically other than try to start fights. Now, in a Payette way, though Payette would go around slashing people and hurting people, and you know, McMorrow just seems to push and shove and doesn't really go about it other than going for the likes of Brad Voth or going for the likes of Adam Knight. So whether Stevie says he was hoping for, you know, I'm not going to second guess and argue with a man I hold in very high regard, but I don't buy that McMorrow is all that a physical presence in a hockey game other than to chase down the hard man and to give the entertainment. And I know that people are going to disagree fervently with that, but that's just my opinion.
Well, yeah, it's one maybe for the forum, and we'll see people talk that out in the next week or so, particularly if the results don't pick up. But I suppose you better move on at this point, and
just one last thing to say, mate, just one last thing to close it out is it's good to see George Iwata back in the ice.
It certainly is, yeah. The captain's arrived.
The captain has arrived, absolutely. But yes, probably better to look around the events around the league, and well, we've already said probably worth having a look at the league table.
The league table, indeed, yeah. And at this present moment, it reads Coventry Blaze played 32 points 48, Nottingham Panthers played 36 points 48. So Coventry have 4 games in hand on the Panthers, although they're on the same amount of points now. And then third place ourselves, with played 44 points. Mm-hmm. And then we're 6 points clear of the Cardiff Devils, having played the same number of games. And then who's next after that? Newcastle are a further 7 points behind Cardiff with 31, played 35. And then the rest of the basement, you have the Edinburgh Capitals played 29, 28 points. Sheffield played 32 and 27 points. And I know that the Sheffield fans are just really disgusted, and you just wonder how long Dave Matos has left there to turn it around. And then Hull played 32 points 19, well adrift at the bottom there. So it's tight at the top. I mean, we really are, I suppose we're just like halfway through the season at the minute.
Mm-hmm.
Or just after halfway through, and there's 4 points that, I mean, the points on the board are better than games in hand. And at the minute, we have 2 games in hand on Nottingham, and if we win both of those, we'll be equal with them. And Coventry then could pull 4 points clear of us, I think. No, they could pull 8 points clear of us. So Coventry at the minute could have a maximum of 56, and we could have a maximum of 48. When we've all played 36 games, if that's not too complicated.
No, but Coventry have a really really difficult schedule coming up. They've got 6 games.
They really do,
days.
Yeah. And it's not just that, but it's the teams they play. I mean, if we look at our fixtures, we talked just before Christmas about it coming into a crunch time of the season for us because we were playing Coventry back-to-back and Newcastle and some other traditionally tough games. But, I mean, if you look at what we have over the next 5, we've got Edinburgh at home, Edinburgh away, Hull away, Newcastle at home. I mean, you'd fancy winning all of those games mm-hmm. before we have the home and home against the Panthers. In the meantime, Coventry have a fairly easy task next weekend with Hull home and away, but the Panthers have a tricky trip to the Devils on Sunday. The weekend after that, it's the greatest game in ice hockey, the biggest derby in the world.
Ever.
Panthers-Steelers at Nottingham. At the same night, Coventry have a tricky trip to Cardiff, who are obviously showing some good home form at the minute,
mm-hmm.
Or some good form in general, having beaten Coventry last weekend and then beaten ourselves. And then it's a big game, and all the Giants fans, I'm sure, will be looking at this one on the 24th. That's a Sunday, I think. Panthers at Blaze.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at our schedule compared to what the other teams have, obviously Coventry have that double with Hull, and you'd fancy them to take 4 points out of that, but at Cardiff, and then at home against the Panthers. What do you make of that?
I'm not all that convinced by the Panthers to the first start. Every time I've seen them, they haven't impressed me at all, even when they beat us in the NIC. But I think that they flatter to deceive, as is usual with the Nottingham Panthers team. I wouldn't, even though they're sitting in second place with more games played, I think they're going to fall away. I think Coventry really do have a difficult schedule, and it'll really be a test on them if they're going to win the league. And like, they need to come out of that schedule with probably 90% of the points, because I think with the Giants schedule coming up, you'd like to think we took out of the next 4 games. Of course, those 4 games are cut in half by the second leg of the Challenge Cup. But,
well, absolutely. I was going to come back to that and ask you what you thought of that. So Wednesday night in Dundonald, the 20th of January, I think you can still get tickets for that from the office and this weekend from the game against Edinburgh. I think they're £9 concession and 13 or 14 for adult. But yeah, we're 5-2 down
yep.
from the first leg.
Yeah. that was a difficult leg to watch because we didn't have any sort of response to the fact that the Devils were firing everything at us, and a few unlucky bounces from Murph, and some really good play by the Devils, and some really poor defending by the Giants give the Devils that advantage coming to Donald. But can we turn it around? Absolutely, I think we can. We need to be better than we were on Sunday, but I certainly think that we are a team that are able to turn this around, especially as we're fighting to retain this cup. The Devils were always a side that I said from the beginning, like I was asked to do a prediction right up for the Cats Whiskers blog, but they were a team that I said they'd be right up there. I thought they'd be one of the title challengers. It just hasn't worked out that way, but they'll certainly be fighting for a trophy, and this is probably the trophy they'll fight for. I don't expect it to be an easy game. Certainly not. But I think we're the better team, but we need to show it.
Well, this is it. I mean, we do have a spectacularly good record in Dundonald, and I'm pretty sure we haven't been beaten there in two seasons really of playing up there, and certainly in competitive play. And we do seem to score an abundance of goals up there. And I don't know what it is about the... it's not all that different a place to, say, Hull, or it's not much smaller than... I mean, I haven't seen Whitley Bay, but I imagine it's on a similar scale to that. But there's just... other teams just seem to not be able to function. Maybe it's just the chinks in the ice, and the Giants players know where those are.
I haven't been there for a Giants game myself yet, but I've heard the atmosphere is pretty good as well.
Yeah, the atmosphere is good, and it's very different from the Odyssey, because you really do get a core of the hardcore fans, I suppose, who travel up to that. There wouldn't be very many walk-ups on the night, and yeah, it's tight, it's compact. Anyone that's ever played hockey in it knows just how sort of close it is in there on the sides, and yeah, the atmosphere is certainly a lot more intimidating than the Odyssey. So it'll be interesting to see now, and hopefully we can turn this around. Would you be devastated if we crashed out of the cup at this stage?
I wouldn't be happy, to be honest. I'd like to okay, maybe we need to concentrate on our league challenge, but you know, every trophy's a trophy, and the Challenge Cup, okay, we won it, but it was always a trophy that we didn't enter, or we were jinxed in some way in getting it. But yeah, I'm not a big believer of the Alex Ferguson method of this cup doesn't matter, so we're not going to enter, or this cup doesn't matter, so we're not going to play, we're going to play a weekend team. I'd like to see the Giants fight for it and pick up any trophy, because at the end of the day, if we decide that we're not going to, you know, if we don't play the game, we end up crashing out of this, you may at this point in time shrug your shoulders and say, so what? But when it comes to April, and we don't have a trophy in the cabinet, then you're wishing that you'd won the Challenge Cup.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I think it's important that, you know, having sort of got rid of the jinx last season, eventually, of after all of those years, it would be nice to hold on to it for another season. But, you know, Cardiff have a good record in this competition as well, and they'll fancy their chances. So it'll be interesting to see. And then just over the horizon, you know, is obviously this home and home against the Panthers. And the Panthers have a fairly good record in the Odyssey.
Yep, I'm heading home for that one. I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great matchup. The Panthers have changed up their roster somewhat in the last couple of weeks, and Moline's come in for a more permanent position. Laroque, who came in with great fanfare, turned out to be as rubbish as he seemed on his first outing. Yeah, he was awful. I watched him his first outing, and I thought he was terrible. It turns out that now he's gained a mystery injury. So I don't know whether
one of these special elite league injuries that's sort of convenient to a different form, you know.
Yeah, don't tell it to Curtis Hubby. The I think that it's going to be a very interesting, you know, and hopefully I'd like to think it's going to be 4 points for the Giants. But one thing we haven't talked about in any great detail yet is the home and away this weekend against the Caps, which I think is going to be maybe a little more difficult than people might expect. The Caps did take a thrashing against Sheffield at the weekend there, but the night before they went to the NIC and took the Panthers right to the wire, only being beaten in overtime 4-3. So there's a good side there.
Well, this is it. And the other question that really needs to be addressed this weekend, and maybe it's as good an opportunity as the Giants are going to get, is can we win away from home, having played at home the night before? Which has been a real difficulty for us this year. And I suppose if there's any time you really wanted to try and break that duck, it would be against Edinburgh or Hull, with all due respect to those teams. So I know I certainly will be looking out with special interest for that result on Sunday night.
Yeah.
I think it is 17th Sunday night.
It is, yes, Sunday night.
But, you know, we'd certainly expect 4 points from those two games, wouldn't we?
Well, I'd like to think so, but that's not to be expected. Like I say, the Caps, they're better than Sheffield, aren't they? At the moment, this moment in time, and you know,
well, this is it.
You know, despite the fact that they went to Sheffield and got hammered, I think that the Caps, they brought in Hutchins, and Hutchins is playing a good game for them, as much difficult as that is for me to say. But Hutchins is playing a good game for them, as is Ferby, and you know, Christensen, since taking his injury and sitting now behind the bench, has formed a good side there, and they're a good team. And despite the fact we've had our fun against them in the Odyssey on a couple of occasions this season, nothing, you take nothing for granted.
Well, indeed.
Especially in our current form.
Especially in our current form is right. So, I mean, we'll hope for the best that from this weekend. Is there anything else you want to bring up at this stage?
Yeah,
Bobby?
I just want a quick chat about wishing the Sheffield Steelers well. Challenge Cup.
What?
I actually do. Yes, they travelled to Grenoble this weekend for the Continental Cup final, super final,
super,
where they're up against Grenoble at home.
Grenoble of the funky website.
Oh man, if you haven't seen this website, I hardly recommend you go. And I was doing a bit of research for this podcast earlier today, and
we do research for the podcast. It's all spontaneous.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? But the you go to that website and have a look at their team. It's all in French, unfortunately. But if you go to L'Equipe and look at the top,
it could be a slight stumbling block for some people.
If you go to L'Equipe. And then look at the very top menu, which is their number one team, and you'll not notice any stats or anything there initially. You'll just see the team, but roll your cursor over each member, and there seems to be some sort of candid photographs of them, including one where a guy seems to be wearing a bra, and one of the coaching staff with a beard who seems to have just money shoved down his pants and a bare chest, which is quite bizarre. So it's on the links on the forum.
It is the most surreal sporting thing I've ever seen in my life.
I couldn't understand it when I was looking, but no, they're Grenoble. They're the hosts.
I don't know why I kept looking after I looked at the first one, but I did, and maybe I need to go and get that addressed somewhere.
I think maybe I'm
repressing thoughts somewhere, but
yeah, I think
you know, I looked at the first one and I thought, well, I want to see all these, then felt very adequate afterwards. I must say.
But they're up against Minsk from Belarus, and they're also up against Red Bull Salzburg, a team who, well, faced the Coventry Blaze in the 2008 Continental Cup, and despite being 2-0 up with 5 minutes to go, the Blaze came back and hammered them 3-2, and that's a team. Salzburg are a team with a lot of money compared to the Blaze or anybody in the elite league. So that, you know, they've been stung by a British team before. So. It's good for the Steelers, especially. Well, it's a pity about the current form, and also they've been hurt now by the this foot injury to I think it's a broken bone in Rod Sarich's foot, which has put him out. Which he was out of the semi-finals as well, which is unfortunate because he's a good player. He's one of the best men in the league. I don't know if they're still playing him as power forward, which was a ridiculous decision to begin with. But he's got a great transition, and he's a difficult player to play against. But unfortunately, he's not going to be able to showcase his talents in the super final, which would have been perfect for him. But
but you were talking before the show that an old Sheffield favourite might be making a step back.
Well, there's rumours are rife, rumours abound. I think that's the better one, that Stevie Munn is on his way back to Sheffield. How true this is, I don't know. It's just something that I've read and heard. But I think that Stevie Munn, Ashley Tate, and Jody Lehman are three players that have been missing from the Steelers squad, and they're like the backbone. Maybe Ran Finnerty as well, if you throw that in. But they were the backbone of the team that won back-to-back playoffs and a league title. and all of them
yep.
departed, and now you find the remainder of the Sheffield team at the foot of the table and slightly rudderless. I was on Ben Knight's Manchester Phoenix podcast at the weekend there when he was asking about Sheffield, and I said they don't seem to have anybody as a leader. Nobody's stepping up and being that leader, and there are big players there, there are big personalities like Cruikshank and the likes, but nobody seems to be leading the line. And Ben passes his best wishes on to you, Connor, and asks how your mum is. no response. I think that no best wishes to Sheffield. I really hope they do well. It's a tough. You have to work hard to get there. You have to win the league, and then you have to travel away to get to the finals, as we know ourselves. And well, no, actually, we didn't travel away to get the qualify for the final. But I think Sheffield will do well. I guess that the semi final wasn't the boost for their league form that they hoped it would be, but maybe this will be if they get a good result.
But just can we put in perspective, just for some of our listeners who might be new to the sport or whatever, just like how big an achievement is it for the Steelers to get even this far when you look at their budget compared to teams across Europe?
Well, all you need to do is put them up against the likes of Red Bull Salzburg, whose budget in the Austrian league is phenomenal. They have millions to spend in comparison to the likes of Sheffield Steelers, who have next to nothing, like many teams. These are the players that play in these leagues are a lot higher paid and a lot more attractive prospect as well for Americans and Canadians coming across the Atlantic Ocean to try to play and try to make their name in Europe, so they get the higher end imports. Not to take away from the imports that we get, you look at Jeff Swayze as a brilliant player, but I think that a lot of the players that they get in Austria are phenomenal, and the players that you maybe wouldn't ever see nowadays. You might have seen them in NFL times, but you wouldn't see them nowadays in the UK. So and also you look at young guys like Rob Farmer Rob Dowd and Farmer, and these are guys who young kids who've come through the ranks in the UK game, which is UK isn't a hotbed of hockey, despite the fact that Paul Thompson says that it's described as the biggest secret of European hockey is the UK league, but and there are a lot of people that don't realise how good our league is. But in comparison to the likes of the Austrian league, maybe even the Italian league, you look at some of our best players have ditched the UK and headed out to Italy. Ashley Tate, McIntyre's out there, and even Dutch had a go and had to come back, and so. For the Steelers to get to the Super Final, especially in the Elite League era, is phenomenal. We did it in the ISL era.
Yeah,
we did it with a team full of imports. They've done it in the Elite League era with 10 imports on the ice, which is to be commended.
Well, it certainly is. Yeah, it's a great achievement.
It's great for the Elite League.
It is. It's a great boost for the game in this part of the world as well. And and we joke about it and everything, but of course we wish the Sheffield Steelers every success in their games to come.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope that they do well and have to raise the profile of hockey over here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is there anything else you want to bring up there just before we make a close to tonight?
Just one more thing, Mitt. Elite League board meetings tomorrow night. I know that.
Are you invited?
Unfortunately, not. No, I don't hold that ISS, but I hear Oxo's going. The Jimmy Longmuir in his Newcastle Chronicle mentioned that the main thing is for them to discuss the format and the structure of next year's Elite League.
Well, isn't it good that that's being done now and not in 6 months' time?
Yeah. Well, that's it. I think that.
So at least if there's not going to be any hockey next year, they can tell us and we can just, we can be prepared. Whereas, I remember going right through into, June and July last year, we were all didn't have a notion what was going on.
Well, I wouldn't hold your breath for a start of it, you know what I mean?
But,
I know that the Elite League board meets tomorrow night, and I know that, like, so Jamie Longmuir speaking in the Chronicle about that's what they're talking about now. There have been more and more rumours about, financial struggles and what teams can and can't do, and I've been quite interested in the Vipers and what their plight at the moment. I know a few people involved, and how difficult it is for teams to raise money at the moment. So it will be interesting to see what the outcome was, especially after the end of last season. Hopefully this, because it was around about this time, actually it was about a month after this, that the talk of Neil Black and his, I'll buy as many imports as I want comments came out. So hopefully these will be amicable discussions, because we do want the Elite League to continue, but in what form will be an interest to the fans up and down the country.
Well, indeed, yeah, and I suppose the league has been going almost on a year-to-year basis, really, over the last few years. If we'll be honest about it, there's always been doubt at the end of every year, and people are keen to report rumours about will there be hockey, will there not be hockey. But, I think it was, we between ourselves, we've talked quite a lot this season about, what is the future. I really just hope that the powers that be can get together and decide something that's good for the fans and for the players.
Slight rumours, as there always is, about Dundee and Fife maybe joining the league. How true they are, I don't know. But
people have been talking about that for 10 years, and I don't really know how much it's in their interest to up their wage bill massively without increasing their attendance and having to fly to Belfast or take boats to Belfast and all sorts. But this is maybe a topic we can that we can expose it more readily at another special podcast. But we can get guys like Ben Ladd on to sort of let us know how their teams are getting on at this point, and with nearly a year out of the Elite League.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Actually, I'm gonna speak to Ben about that.
Yeah,
but I think that's about us, mate. Is it?
I think so. Yeah, I think we've bored the listeners enough at this point. Now
they'll have turned off long ago. It's just you and me, buddy.
Yeah, Davey, thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks, Davey. For the listeners, Davey McGimsey, he's regularly on the podcast. Sent me a text earlier on saying he met the likes of Nicholas Lidstrom and Dasik and stuff in a hotel in, I think he's in New York at the minute.
I think he is, yeah.
So he's rubbing shoulders with the Red Wings at the minute, so he doesn't slum with the likes of us.
No, certainly not. He won't speak to us whenever he comes back.
Yeah. But if you want to get in touch with us here at Views on the Bridge, you can drop us an email at podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com.
Or you can get us through the website,
www.kingdomofthegiants.com/
podcast.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Thanks, Joan. Now that my travels have settled, this will be a more regular outing, thankfully.
Hope so.
Enjoyed the chat tonight, mate. Wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey, and we'll see you next time on A View from the Bridge, UK Hockey Live production for KingdomOfTheGiants.com.
Bye. You're right.